Well, Ken, as we have already noted before recording, this episode is probably going to air before a couple other episodes that we have, simply because of a somewhat timely topic that should be addressed.
Yes, that's correct. And
And
you know, I just happen to think since we're bringing this up right off the bat, we might as well just get right to that one, I think. I'm gonna throw out our pre-game talk here and just call an audible.
You're gonna call it audible. Well, we should at least say that this is Stunt Granny Audio 74. Yes, 72 and 73 are in fact recorded. It's just that Kevin has a little less free time than he'd like to have.
Yes, we know where they are, and we're gonna get them out, but we just, I don't know. I guess I happened to see something when I was walking through the room the other day on the television that caught my
So you were
eye.
not party to you weren't watching with bated breath the swimming of Michael Phelps.
I was not, although we had the Olympics playing in the background, which is kind of like, I guess, how I'm used to interacting with the Olympics for the most part. It's on sort of in the background. And you know, I'll watch for different parts, but it's not really consistent, I guess. Although I can get sucked into it for sure.
It's been cracking me up. The one woman at the office, she is a former swimmer, so she is so geeked up this week. Like, it reminds me of me when I was going through the whole Penguins in the Stanley Cup Finals phase.
Right.
You know, you just you're just completely hyped. There's no other way to put it,
Well,
honestly.
it's interesting, Kevin, because and I think this might play into our later discussion too, because for the Olympics, like for swimming, this is really it. Like, there isn't a regular season for swimming, right? And it's
Now, there are other world championships, but I mean, this is like the this is the top of the top. Like, if you don't win any other championships, but you have an Olympic gold medal, you pretty much tell anyone to piss off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, I won 8 world championships during that time, and you only fluke won at the Olympics. So what? I won at the Olympics, dude.
Right. That is true. And I mean, just the attention that's you know, I guess for the majority of sports fans or just the general public, this is really the only time of year you're gonna be watching swimming, I'm gonna say.
Well, you know, that's kind of the funny thing. Like, I guess I've watched it a little bit more recently, simply because I keep on NBC Sports a lot because it does carry hockey to go back to that. So, I mean, since that's kind of my big sport, I just leave that on a lot. And then they also have soccer. Like, they have all like kind of the weird sports,
And
or
bicycling.
maybe not weird, I should say, because I mean, those are like options 3 and 4 as far as popular,
Well, if you're
four and
talking about,
five.
you know, football and basketball being the not weird sports, then yes,
Yeah.
those would be
And
the weird sport.
baseball.
Okay, baseball, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Then those would be considered the weird sports
Yeah,
under
like
that
they're just
regime.
not quite as popular as the other ones.
Right.
They definitely have a fairly large audience, but yeah, but NBC Sports seems to have those, and they also have a lot of those world championships, and I'm not gonna say that I watched a lot, but I kind of did what you're talking about, is I just turn it on and I'd leave like the track and field world championships on, or like even they had the US a lot of the US trials on.
Okay. Yeah, I would
So
enjoy watching that stuff too.
I know that I definitely watched some of the diving US trials.
Okay. I was watching some of the synchronized diving the other day. It's pretty crazy stuff there. Just those
Oh
Chinese
yeah.
guys are crazy, man. They're like if you were looking at them from the side, you couldn't see that there was two of them. Like the one, like they were perfectly synchronized.
Oh, so and perfectly sized for each other, too?
I guess so.
Because I felt like I saw two Americans dive this morning. I think that they won gold. Because I don't know if it was at a different height or a different platform. They kind of were different sizes. So, I mean, you couldn't, like, exactly cover up the other guy.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because I just thought the other guy size-wise was a little bit bigger.
Yeah, I don't know if they specialize in heights and things like that. Well, that's interesting. Well, anyway, yes, the Olympic fever has clearly ravaged us both.
yeah, I mean, I've watched as much as I could. I started turning it on, and I don't know why I wasn't turning it on in the morning, to at least, again, to for background. It was on when I woke up at 6 o'clock to walk the dogs.
Yeah, that's kind of the weird thing too when you're watching. At least like when I,
because they had archery on this morning. Like that's what was on NBC Sports, and like I at least was paying attention for 10 to 15 minute intervals as I got them fed and rounded up and everything else that I do in the morning. So I mean, I watched some archery, and those people are pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I don't know if you saw our friend Lars...
Ulrich?
No, I forget his name, actually. I'm just going to call him Lars. But the guy from the YouTube video where he was doing all the crazy archery shooting, catching arrows and shooting them back.
No, I did not see him.
Okay. You know, I just thought that was
There was no running needed. Well, yeah, this was stationary. And they did call into question, I guess one of the athletes had formerly done something like that.
Done something like running around shooting?
Yeah. Yeah, because they just said that it's hard to adjust between worrying about movement and not worrying about it and being stationary. Like, it's a little different skill set.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that, what was surprising to me the other day? Air rifle is an Olympic event. It's like, you know, basically a pellet gun that you're shooting at a little target. I don't know. It's interesting. There's a lot of stuff out there, guys.
Yeah, I watch, I always watch me some table tennis, too.
Yeah, that would be good. I mean, I would actually like to see that. I miss out on a lot of these more niche sports here.
Yeah, like, I'm all over those, really. And I feel like, because sometimes it cracks me up, there's one radio host that always makes fun of the Winter Olympics, how they're not the real Olympics. But, I mean, again, to go back to the hockey thing, I like the Winter Olympics more in a lot of ways than the Summer Olympics. But, yeah, I was raised watching all these things, too. My mom was crazy for the Olympics. Especially, like, the more artistic ones. Definitely the gymnastics that's been on. And then the ice skating. Winter Olympics.
She's got them both covered then, really.
Yeah. So, I mean, we kind of watch a lot of Olympics even as kids, so... I guess I always tune into it, so that's one of those things that I'm completely not derailing things, but not talking about the topic at hand, though.
Yeah, I guess so.
He's the GOAT a little bit of the Olympics, possibly.
Yeah, I think that'd be fair to say. I mean, that's a strong argument to be made there, for sure. Michael Phelps has won, I think, 21 gold medals at this point.
Yeah, and I think he added 22 today.
Oh, well, there you go. I should be paying more attention.
Yeah.
But, so, guy's a pretty good swimmer.
Yeah, he kind of knows what he's doing in a pool. Despite taking some bong rips every now and again.
Well, you know, we'll get to that in our next topic, I think. But,
I blew my transition material too early.
Yes. Yeah, you got to really hold it for the long haul here, man. So, yeah, he is a good swimmer. And he had a little bit of a Oh, feud, I guess you could say, with a South African swimmer.
Yeah, I guess as much as I do watch the Olympics, I wasn't quite aware of this feud. And I did not see this race in question. Only in hindsight have I watched this stuff.
Still counts, Kevin.
Yeah, it still counts because well, we watched everything in order because I thought I remembered the guy talking trash. I thought I remembered hearing a report about that. So I'm like, oh, okay. And then they showed him doing the shadow boxing in front of Michael Phelps. Now, I'd seen the Michael Phelps face all amongst the internet. I had
And
no
that truly
idea.
is a magnificent face that he's pulling there. I mean, he's putting Peyton Manning to shame. He's light years beyond that, I'd say.
He was mean mugging something fierce.
Right.
Which yeah, it should be a meme when you go, 'cause I mean, he just kind of has a cartoony face.
He really reminded me of Hayden Christensen, is that his name,
Oh, from Star
from
Wars?
Star Wars when he was starting to turn into Darth Vader. He had that hood and his like face was in shadows and he just had this look on his face like he was gonna straight up murder a classroom full of Jedi trainees.
Well, I am glad that there was no murdering taking place in this situation.
Yeah, that's probably definitely. Oh, I'd say that's for the best, you know. That's really not keeping with the Olympic spirit at all.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I'm not surprised that there's some type of trash talking in these kind of situations. Especially with I mean, this is his fifth Olympics. So I mean, he's at least been around some of these people for probably at least two Olympics. I'm not sure how long this feud's been running with this South African guy.
No, but I did also happen to see them that clip when I before the match or what do you call it? Swim? I don't know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was pretty comical to see this guy like shadow boxing and like smiling at
Yeah.
somebody off camera, kind of looking like he's having a good time there, shaking his arms. You know, they do like this kind of arm shake thing. The swimmers.
Yeah, like everyone else is seated. So like I hadn't the face, I had no context to it, and getting the context to it now, it's kind of hilarious.
Because Michael Phelps was just so pissed off about this situation. Like, he didn't appreciate this guy.
Being an ass.
No. He didn't appreciate. He did not find the humor at all. That was his face. I mean, he was communicating that clearly. So they ended up having a swim
Well,
against each other then.
and then that was funny too, because during the swim, there's kind of a picture of the South African guy kind of looking over at Phelps. Did you see that? Because there's a still shot of it too.
Oh, I
Like,
did see that one.
while they were swimming, like the guy kind of looked over at him, and Phelps was already ahead.
It was a pretty close one,
But
though.
it did end up being quite close.
Right. But
But that guy didn't even end up meddling, though, was the funny part, because it was the Japanese
oh, you're right. Yeah.
swimmer that came in second,
Yeah, you're
and
right.
the gentleman in the lane beside him came in third. And I think the other guy, I think that guy doing the shadow boxing came in fourth or something like that. So I
Laclos, I think,
mean.
was his name, yeah. But I do believe he was in the lead at one point, maybe before the turn, but I'm not
Oh.
sure. But that's just my memory. I could be completely wrong. It's not
Gotcha.
like I researched it, but
The yeah, the clip that we watched only had the last 50 meters.
yeah.
So we did not see 150 of the 200. So
But
yeah, that's a little limited.
yeah, but it was an entertaining one, and it was a close finish between first and second place.
Right.
But I at the as I watched it, you know, live, it seemed to me that Michael Phelps' reaction was, I don't know if I said the way he was moving and like going about his celebration, it just seemed to me like he was really
he was still pissed off.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so, but there wasn't like a release. It was like he was it was very dramatic, I guess I'd say.
It was definitely dramatic. The post that got us talking about this was asking if it was a jerk maneuver.
Yes.
I guess I'm not as offended by this stuff as some other people.
Right.
So I think that always taints my course of action. It's just like, is he being a little douchey? I think so. Like, because he was kind of asking for the cheers.
That was the part that was the weirdest thing to me. Like, I was ready for him to, like, grab a microphone at that point and then just say did he's, you, like, the best want... there is, the best there was.
The best there ever will be.
I was almost sure that was coming. But then I was like, oh, wait, they can't have a microphone in the pool. That's that's like a shock hazard. So, yeah. But he was ready for it. If they could have figured out a way to get a waterproof mic down there, I could tell he was ready to do some mic work.
Yeah. If he would have given LeClose, or whatever his name is... What was it, DeClose?
LeClose, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I just think the name just kind of makes me giggle a little.
Oh, okay.
Maybe because it is like Clouseau or something.
Or it's too close. Or...
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, if he would have dropped him with an RKO out of nowhere, that would have been pretty hilarious. Just...
Well, it was interesting because after that, we didn't see it in the video that we watched, he actually went over to LeClose and gave him a hug, like, in the pool, like, after that little moment he had there.
Well, and I think that's where, you know, I'm just going to say he was still pissed off, and you kind of do some stupid shit, I think, in the immediate aftermath. Right. And that kind of was him blown off steam, and maybe he cooled off after that. And it kind of was like, oh, dude, that was kind of a dick maneuver. And he went over to kind of hug the guy to make up for it. Like, I'm like, you know what? That was a little uncalled for.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, when you make up for it, too, at least somewhat make up for it.
Right.
Like, it's like, okay, whatever. He was a dick maybe for a moment.
Yeah.
But really, like, there's no need to crucify the guy about that.
Yeah, no, that was totally, you're right, that was a totally classy move there to go over and give him a hug afterwards. But, yeah, I could see that. It just seemed like it was so calculating, though. Like, it was, like, done so coldly. But maybe that's just kind of his personality, I don't know. There was something just...
Well, I mean, come on. You just said that he had the crazy mean mugging face that he had when he was pissed off. Like, he has a little bit of a weird, in my opinion, he has a little bit of a weird demeanor to him.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, everybody has their own look, that's for sure. But, you know, congratulations
on all of those gold medals, Michael Phelps. I'm sure you will be listening.
Yes, indeed. You know, he's a great talent. So I guess, you know, yeah. I'm not saying, I don't want to say, I'm going to come down and say that his behavior was just fine with me, Kevin. I'm not going to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was withholding judgment from him, and I didn't want to leave him hanging there. So
I did kind of laugh, though, when I read the article and I saw the headline. I'm like, ah, come on, man. Like, that was honestly the first thought out of my head. And when I came to the end of the article, it's just like, whatever, he gets a pass. I'm like, okay, I feel better. Like, I was like, there's no need to blow this one out of proportion.
Yeah, no, he was fine. But I was glad to actually...
He was a dick for a moment, and he kind of made... He, for the most part, made up for it. So it's just like, let's just move along here, people.
Right. It did pique my interest enough that I was kind of like, when I saw that article, I was like, oh... I kind of had that thought for a second, yeah.
I've got to throw that one close to the clickbait headline, but it isn't. It's worth considering because, I mean, it gets talked about in all sports.
Right.
Honestly, like, what's too much for a celebration?
That's true.
Like, so I don't think that that's completely out of bounds, Ken.
That's wonderful.
Oh.
But, you know, Michael Phelps isn't the only thing that swims in the water, Kevin.
No, there are a lot of things that swim in the water. Oh, also, another sport that I love watching.
Go for it.
Water polo.
That's also in the water.
Yep.
Now, water polo seems like it's a really hard sport to me. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and there is this, I feel like it's in Croatia, I think, or maybe it's Yugoslavia. It's not Yugoslavia anymore.
No, I believe that is a defunct country at this point, Kevin.
Yeah.
Is it Bosnia and Herzegovina?
Oh, yeah, it might be Bosnia, where there is a polo... area, like it has the right dimensions for it, but it's out on the sea, and they have the seawater wash over into it. Like, they have a wall built up just high enough to keep most things out, but it kind of washes in the you're playing in the ocean,
like a tidal pool or something almost.
Yeah, it's pretty badass. So it they're trying not to allow sea creatures in there.
So like...
On purpose.
So say they wouldn't want there to be a 17-foot shark that washed in to that...
No,
that
they pool. Are trying to prevent up to a 17-foot shark entering these premises. man, I don't know if I made that too circuitous or not, but, you know, I'll work with it.
Not a problem. But no, this was an article that you sent me from Popular Mechanics, of all places.
Yeah, there's a shark that can live for 400 years.
At least 400 years.
Yeah, and it was an at least.
Well, yeah.
So, which is pretty wild, to say the least.
Yeah. You don't think of things living that long. I guess.
Yeah, because they mentioned that it doubled, the known is, the tortoise, or bowhead whales that, live about 200 years. Or some of them can live up to 200 years.
Okay. So I was thinking of, tortoises as being long-lived, creatures.
Yeah, they're up there. I mean... You can live two bills. That's pretty crazy.
And I do believe that there
I've
is...
I've seen a lot of things in my day, son. Like, how much can they get to say that?
Well, imagine a shark living for 400 years. I mean, that's going to be some, like, you know, when it comes time to respect your elders, that's kind of, they're going to win out there, don't you think?
Yeah, and it's still pretty, crazy that, maybe because they don't have that much to do, and they live, all of these sharks are in, Greenland.
Yes.
So, they live in quite cold conditions, and I, need to, pull those up here.
And like I said, they can get up to 17 feet long. And the kicker is that they grow like half an inch a year. So that tells you, you know, it takes a long time to get to be that old.
Oh, okay, yeah.
To get together to grow that big.
The water is typically 37 to 41 degrees. Of course, I had to pick a factoid that was at the very end of the article.
Well, it seems to me that they're almost being refrigerated. or preserved in some way by the cold water, really.
Right, because it was funny that the scientists that even kind of reported this finding, because it was pretty interesting to me that they had to take a sample out of the eye.
Yeah, they used radiocarbon dating by examining the eye, or the lens of the eye, because apparently that's the first part, or that part of the shark is actually grown in the, when it's, they're still in the egg, and it's never replaced, so that gives them the best dating on how old the shark is.
Yeah, because much like other kind of reptiles, they do shed skin, or at least they change layers.
Yeah, sure, and then
So maybe it's not like a true shedding. So, you know, like the skin, you can't really date it. Like I did find that pretty fascinating, just that aspect of things.
Yeah, and like different parts do, you know, as you're growing, you get new layers, basically on top of your old cells to kind of, and then cells die and are replaced. So you can't really guarantee that you're looking at something unless it's just it never gets replaced, such as this lens on the shark. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. That was pretty neat. But yeah, that's how they figured out. And I guess that my main point was going to be that the scientist that's studying this part and finding out about it, it's like, we still basically don't know anything about this shark.
Yeah, and they said the shark rarely, if ever, comes to the surface. And they don't know anything. They've never seen a pregnant shark. They don't know anything about their reproduction, basically. He said, the scientist said it's basically like, you know, embarrassing how little they know about these sharks.
Yeah, because they aren't just like a recent find. Because I'm trying to think. Oh, because they don't say exactly when it is that they found out about it. Because it says although they are not a newfound species. So, I mean, they've been around, at least, or at least people have known about them.
Yes, but I don't think they've done this kind of dating to figure out how old they are before now. So I think this is kind of like a surprising find. Although they may have thought they would be old, they didn't realize they would be that old. You know, speaking of old things in the ocean, I've heard that lobsters can actually maybe be immortal. Like, they keep growing bigger and bigger as they age.
Oh.
And if they're not ever, I mean, they, you know, don't live forever because, you know, they've got people, you know, people hunting for them, or, you know, whatever.
Something eats them.
Yeah. But they could, like, conceivably keep getting bigger and bigger, which is interesting to me.
Oh, that would be pretty cool to see, like, a Godzilla-sized lobster.
Right, because then once you get, well, and it's more plausible, I guess, underwater, because you can kind of float around. Like, once you get to be a certain size on land, I think it's, like, your supports have to be, like, so strong, and, like, your surface tension. I don't know. There's a lot of problems.
There are a lot of problems that you don't think about.
Engineering problems, yes.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if we did that topic on, and I think we did the movie topic with all the different movie monsters, how a lot of them anatomically are not feasible.
It would just not they would not hold up under the strain of their own bodies. I think in a lot of cases.
Yeah, the strain of their own bodies would destroy them. So.
Unless they are like titans, where they're basically hardly weigh anything, but that would be a different topic, I guess. it is interesting how we're talking. I'm just going on a side tangent here about the show Attack on Titan. For anyone who hasn't seen that anime, but there's these giant titans, and it's just interesting how like kind of pseudo scientific, you know, accurate they are in some ways. Like, in some ways it doesn't make any sense, but at least in like the way of them not weighing anything and like being able to appear from nothing and like disappearing again, like some of that stuff that does actually maybe make sense if you think about them. Like,
well, I don't believe that anything can do like an Incredible Hulk, basically. It's a supersized Incredible Hulk. Well, Hulk is still larger than I guess I ever thought he was for some reason.
It's like growing a body around somebody,
basically. Oh, yeah.
And I guess I thought about it as being like taking maybe carbon from the atmosphere and like converting it into a Titan body using like some kind of nanotubes or something. But, you know, Maybe I'm reading a little too much into this.
Well, they should have come up with some scientific explanation, Ken, on the next set of episodes for Attack on Titan, because if they don't, there's going to be hell to pay.
Yeah, we will we'll keep you informed. I don't know, season 2 should be coming out at some point. My gosh, I don't know.
Yeah, it's been too long.
Anyway, that's we're talking about a Titanic shark here, I guess.
Well, it could have swum around that, because didn't they wreck somewhere in that Greenland vicinity?
Did who wreck?
The Titanic.
Oh, the Titanic, yeah. I don't think it was quite as far as Greenland, but yeah, somewhere in the North Atlantic. Kevin appears to be looking up the Titanic. So we'll find out. We'll get the latitude and longitude here for you guys.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure if...
because I don't think it was that close to land. But who knows? Either way.
Yeah, we can keep on moving.
The shark is interesting. I think it's crazy that something could live that long. Although it makes you wonder, like, for the shark, it sounded like they're like... body system is moving slower because
because they are in the cold.
They're in the cold and they're bigger.
They do grow very slow. Like you said, it's half an inch a year. Like, so, and that's the one thing that they're not completely sure how large they are when they're born, because they haven't seen one pregnant.
Yeah, or like baby
sharks. Or even know their mating habits. They haven't seen a baby shark, so they're not quite sure, like, even where they start from the scale-wise. Because, yeah, getting to 17 foot, that's a lot of years.
Uh-huh. But I think they said that they would take, like, 150 years to get to maturity, so...
Yeah. That's quite a long time to even get to maturity.
But I'm wondering, so is everything slow for the shark? Does the shark, I guess, as far as they're concerned, is the world like around them like sped up? Are they like experiencing the same amount of time as sort of like a normal shark would? Because like their experience of time is like so much like spread out. Because they're, like, slowed down? Their internal clocks are slowed down? Am I making any sense here, man?
I don't think they interact with anything to know that anything else is moving faster. Mm. Like, does anything, like, come up and visit them? Like, I guess I don't feel like anything goes that far north. Like, most of the stuff that...
you don't think they're visiting with the other sharks?
Well, yeah, nothing... Well, I mean, things migrate, but it's usually, like, they move north, but not that far north. And then they're like, oh, fuck this, it's getting cold up here again, so we're gonna run back down south here. Like, that seems to be the case in most situations. Because, like, geese, like, they don't go the whole way up to Greenland and come back. Like, they're just up in Canada somewhere.
Yes.
For the summer. They're like, oh, man, it's too hot down there. Fuck off. So they fly back north where it's at least, you know, a somewhat bearable summer.
Well, yeah. I guess they don't know much about the shark, but, like, I would assume it's eating some kind of other fish or something. And I'm not sure if that you would call that a social interaction, but there's some kind of interaction going on there. So it seems like the shark couldn't be that much slower, right? So I might be shooting holes in my own theory here, but like the shark would have to be able to somewhat move as fast, unless it's eating like plankton or something. I don't know. Like I said, we need to find out more about this shark.
They know very little. So like, what are we going to talk about? But I mean, it is pretty just crazy that something can be that old.
And I hope that the first thing they study is whether time passes slowly, subjectively for the shark. And, you know, that should be an easy thing to study, I would say. So just get it done.
Yeah, peoples, get on it.
Speaking of animal studies, though, we've found out something a little interesting about cats and their interaction with catnip this week, Kevin.
Yes. That's kind of funny. It's one of those things that I did not really interact that much with cats up until meeting the wife. I had known people with cats, including some good friends of ours. But never really hung out with the cats all that much. So it was kind of funny. I guess I had seen the catnip trick before, but it's even funnier to see it more consistently. Because every time the wife gets the cat a new scratch pad, she puts a little catnip on it. And she just goes bonkers on it.
Yes. I guess you could say the reaction typically is like putting their faces into it and like pushing it.
The video that we watched accompanying this this was from Vox.com. And they were giving it to larger cats, like lions and cheetahs and a jaguar and, a bobcat, I think. So, I mean, they weren't giving it just to, like, a domesticated cat. And they were giving it to him in a larger quantity, like you said, in a bag.
Gotcha.
But they were still reacting to it like the same that I see Priscilla react to it.
Pushing their faces into it and,
pushing their faces into it, yes. Playing with it, rolling on their backs. Like, I don't know if I've seen everything. I don't know if I've seen their back rolling from her, but it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I see it out of my dog when he wants to rub his scent into something.
Yes, I've seen the cats do the rolling on the back thing. The house cats, I'd say.
Right.
And, you know, then they seem to be kind of buzzed for a little while there.
Which, to go back to the dog part, like, there's not a dog nip. Like, there isn't something that I can buy at Target that gets my dog high.
No.
Like, it is kind of interesting how unique this is just to, you know, a certain species of animal.
No, there's not like, fish nip.
Ferret nip.
Snake nip.
Snake nip. And I guess I didn't know, and this is one of those things that, they're showing the first picture is just one of I guess I've never really seen a catnip plant. Like, I guess I was not a.
A lot like, it reminds me of like a spice or herb or something, you know.
Right.
Something you might cook with even.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting looking, because, yeah, like you said, like, I could see it as an herb of some sort.
But, cats see it as a different kind of herb. Now, reading this article, it was interesting because in some ways it acts like a drug on the cats, but in other ways it's not exactly like a drug.
Oh, yeah. Like, the cat, they always have the same reaction to it.
Yes, so they don't ever build up a tolerance
Right.
to catnip. And it's now I'm not exactly sure how they reached this conclusion, but they said that the cat doesn't push his, snout and face into the catnip because he likes it. It's because when he smells it, he's compelled to do that. So
Oh.
it's not like, boy, this I really like this stuff. It's like I have to
Yeah.
push my face into this.
It's pretty wild, like, because it I guess it's, I mean, it's like an addiction, but different,
Well, and
wouldn't you say?
also it's like they don't get more, freaked out
Oh.
over time by like it's not like they keep going to get more and more freaked out from it or more and more high, if you will. Like once
Right.
they reach their kind of like chilled out state,
That's where it
they
stops.
stay there. Yeah.
Yeah, there, I mean, there are just a lot of interesting elements to this thing that I guess maybe I didn't ponder before, 'cause they didn't, to me, they didn't really give too many answers either. Like, this was more of like an informational one.
Well, it was the one thing was they thought, I guess, that it might have been like a pheromone or something that was in
Oh.
the or something that was picked up by the pheromone sensor,
Right.
which I guess is a olfactory nerve that or a sensor that we don't possess, but that cats and dogs do, other mammals, but that picks up on these pheromones. But they said that it did not appear to be the case, and that maybe it's something that's picked up by the normal smell sensors that sort of acts like a pheromone somehow, because it's not something that seems to be like they can get more and more high from. It seems to be like something that kind of triggers something in them, and then it just sort of runs its course and is over with. So it's I never thought about that before, but that is like we had a cat that I noticed that with. So it is
Oh.
kind of interesting to read more about it, and I always just kind of wondered, it is a weird thing that's basically the only thing that's like
It's kind of a psychedelic drug
that you give your pet.
that you give your pet. Again, like I can't feed hallucinogens to my dogs.
There's no dog shrooms.
Yeah, I'm not giving them dog shrooms.
I guess regular shrooms might work on a dog, though. Would it, though? Maybe not.
I guess I wouldn't want to find out.
No. No, there'd be
Like
no
that
reason
just,
to.
yeah, that just doesn't sound very nice.
Although I've heard
Although
that.
the fact that dogs were wild at some point, you would think that they accidentally ate a mushroom at some juncture.
Well, here's what I was thinking though, because they think that hallucinogens like that, like psychedelic mushrooms, may work by decreasing the cerebral cortex activity in humans and sort of putting that part of the brain to sleep almost, or pushing down the activity there at least. So other animals don't have like a big or a cerebral cortex like we do, right? That's kind of like
Oh.
the
One
human.
of the differences.
Yeah. So like actually we could be experiencing what a dog is dealing with all the time when we're taking these psychedelics. Well, if humans were to take psychedelic drugs. So that could be a reason why they're always freaking out by weird shadows and noises and things, but it may not actually do anything for dogs, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But who
Right.
knows? We're not going to find out. We know that much.
Yeah, I am not going to find out my dogs. They are entirely too old to be worrying about that. And They're also too old to be worrying about going on a futuristic Chinese bus, Ken.
Yeah, I don't think your dogs are going to be going to China.
No.
I hope that's not on their bucket list.
Yeah, sometimes going to China for a dog is a bad thing.
You're right. There is that.
So, there is an actual festival, so I mean, it's not like we can pretend it doesn't happen here.
It's not that we're just totally being racist. There is actually a festival in China.
It's just like saying that there isn't bullfighting in Spain. It's there.
Right. But there's something else in China besides dog eating festivals. they have this newly unveiled TEB1.
Transit Elevated Bus. And it runs on tracks, it straddles the road, and it is large or tall enough that cars can fit underneath it.
Yeah, I think you're probably going to end up having to watch the video to completely understand this, because it does seem like impossible to me. But it's, I guess another visual would be, if you're familiar with the cartoon Inspector Gadget.
Oh, dear Lord. I'm sure that someone here has heard of Inspector Gadget.
They actually did have a newer version of that show come out recently on Netflix, I think, too. But I'm not sure how good it is. But anyway, there could be people out there who know what this is. And basically, his gadget mobile.
Go, gadget.
The wheels would stay on the ground, but they would his chassis would extend up from the wheels.
Yes.
There would be extension arms, basically, come from the wheels up to the car. So he could take his car and lift it up over other cars and kind of cut through traffic pretty easily that way.
Yeah, you are correct. I guess I did not think about the that possibility there.
So, it made it pretty convenient for him, Inspector Gadget, that is.
Yes.
But us regular people here in the real world didn't have a lot of options for that kind of thing until now.
That was thought up in the 1980s. this is being thought up in the teens.
Although, you know what? This does kind of look like the... Is this the Dr. Claw emblem back here?
I do not think it is the Dr. Claw emblem.
Okay. Well, we're going to look into this, because I'm not 100% convinced.
I do not want to throw out accusations such as this just on air without any further proof, Ken.
You're right. We should probably do a little more research to figure out what that symbol is, but yeah,
let's not draw any unruly
It could also be an Autobot symbol. I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised if this thing transforms into a robot.
No, I would not be shocked if it transitioned into a robot.
So, Kevin, did you have any concerns about this this vehicle riding on a road?
I would not want to drive under this thing.
Yeah.
First off, like... It doesn't look like it's that long. It's 72 foot long.
Woo, that's big bus, you know?
Right. And I'm trying to think. Oh, they didn't say the number of people that fit in that one. Because they mentioned in another prototype from a different company that it fit 1,200 people.
So,
and this is a smaller version of that. So I'm going to get, you know, it's somewhere under 1,200. Because it also doesn't give the dimensions of the other test car and the other, with the other company. So you kind of have contradicting numbers here.
They said it's 72 feet long and 26 feet wide. So I'm guessing they could fit a pretty decent amount of people on there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's still hundreds of people. Because that's what, when I first started reading it, I didn't actually click on the article, so I didn't see the pictures. But yeah, it's pretty massive, and I mean, they're just trying to relieve some of the traffic on the streets of China. And it's just kind of funny that just regular buses can't help out. Well, like that's the other thing that always strikes me as weird is with something like this. I'm like, okay, like I guess it's kind of like having a you know, a subway.
It sort of is, except you have to like drive on the same track as the subway.
Yeah, and that was definitely one of the concerns that was brought up in the article, or maybe in the video, is that people were concerned about, say, needing to make a turn right when this bus was underneath them. So, I mean, they'd end up holding up traffic.
Yes.
You know, just to make a turn, because they'd need to wait until it got past them to make the turn.
And then, like, how, yeah.
I mean, that's a fully valid concern with this design.
And I don't see how you get around that. because you got to make turns at some point.
Right. Unless you just don't let people pass this thing.
Well, that's the whole point.
But then you have a double-decker bus.
Right. That would be a terrible thing to do. They'd be like, oh, wait a minute. We've kind of taken away the cool thing about this by not letting people drive underneath it. But the other thing is, it looked kind of dark under there. Like, you really...
Oh, I was kind of laughing that they actually had lights underneath there. Like, it was honestly like... I mean, we drive through a tunnel quite frequently.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it looks like you would be driving through a tunnel.
Essentially, yes. It's a moving tunnel that you can drive through. But, you know, other cars, like, I could see this being a problem for potentially for pedestrians and, like, bicyclists.
Oh. Yeah, so, well, I mean, again, they'd be in the same situation. Like, well, A, I don't think you could beat its speed still if you're on a bike.
It didn't seem to be going that fast, which was the other problem.
Oh.
Although...
Well, yeah, they said it was a prototype and that it was moving kind of slow. They were hoping that it moves faster than that.
Yes.
You know, faster than it is currently.
Well... I don't think that this is quite to the level of, say, the Hyperloop idea.
Oh.
In terms of exciting transportation initiatives.
Right.
But, you know, they're thinking outside the box on this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's something. I think it's a little weird, but it's something.
The other thing that's weird is that you have to get up on a platform to get on or off of this this thing. So, like, yeah, you're going to have to build these platforms.
It's kind of like the L in Chicago.
Yeah, so you would have to have room for platforms, I guess, though, is the only potential downside there. But in China, I think they can knock down some houses and find some room. So
they'll probably be able to do that. I mean, when you can do that kind of thing.
I think we'll be okay. They'll figure something out, Kevin.
Yep. And, you know, we'll figure out how to end the show by talking about beer. Because we had two beers tonight. Had one before we came on air, which was the Duclos Sweet Baby Jesus Chocolate Peanut Butter Porter. I'll tell you what, it has quite the nose of chocolate and peanut butter. Yeah. To start with. That hits you before it even goes in your mouth.
Exactly.
And it hits you when you go in your mouth too. Like, there is definitely chocolate and peanut butter. And there are chocolatey malts. They must have used a lot of chocolatey malt to get that level of chocolatiness, because I feel like normally a chocolate beer doesn't taste that kind of sweet.
Yeah,
you know, it's a sweet chocolatiness because maybe the chocolatiness isn't quite as sweet as normal. It's more on the bitter side of things.
Gotcha. Yeah, I thought it was a pretty decent beer, and maybe a little dark for the season, but it was still something I had to try, if only on the name alone.
yeah, I've always wanted to try it just because of the name. That just cracks me up. But yeah, that one was very tasty. I quite approve, and I understand why it's one of it might be the standard for chocolate peanut butter porters, which obviously is not a large section of things. But
the Venn diagram of beers, that would be a small circle somewhere.
yeah, because I've seen quite a number, and the other beer of the evening is Clown Shoes Third Party Candidate Hoppy Pale Lager. So we had two very different beers, and I got no problems with either of them.
I enjoyed this one. It's very refreshing.
Yeah.
It's... I what can I say? It tastes... Tastes great.
Oh, less tastes filling. Great. Less filling. it's 7% alcohol.
Oh, okay.
It does not give an IBU. I feel like Clown Shoes does not always hand out the IBU all that easily. But yeah, I don't see it on here. But I don't know. It had to me again. Like a pale ale is a little more preferable than an IPA, in my opinion. So this kind of worked out. Like, this is kind of the best of both worlds. Like, I don't think it overwhelmed with the hoppy end of a pale lager. Like, it's just right. Like, I really like, these guys. They put out a lot of good beer.
Yeah, I agree. Clown Shoes is a good brewery. You guys should, check out some of their,
They're from Massey Chewy Shits. So, you need to be up in the, northwest side of the country to
or
get
the
this
northeast
one.
Side.
Northeast. Why yeah. I said Northwest?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Okie doke. Well, it's been that kind of week. It's that kind of a night.
You were thinking about, you know, Kanye and Kim's kid, I'm sure.
yep, that's what was on my mind. So for at DeFrango11 and at Gozer33, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Everyone have a good night.
See ya.